Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first, we're now only 11 days away to the kickoff of the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. France will host South Korea June 7th in the opening match in Paris. With excitement building, the final squad lists for the 24 participating teams have been announced. A total of 552 players have been called up by the competing countries. The defending champion, United States, is one of the favorites to lift the trophy on July 7th in Lyon, France. On Sunday, near New York City, the American women beat Mexico 3-0 in their final warm-up match before the World Cup. Tobin Heath, Mallory Pugh, and Kristen Press had the goals for the USA. Now, the 21-year-old Pugh is one of the rising young stars on the American team, and she's based right here in the Washington area with the Washington Spirit team in the National Women's Soccer League. The USA is grouped with Thailand, Chile, and Sweden at the Women's World Cup. The Americans will take on Thailand in their opening match June 11th in Reims, France. Africa will be represented by three teams in France: Nigeria, Cameroon, and South Africa. The Nigerian women are grouped with Norway, South Korea, and host France. Cameroon is grouped with Canada, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. And the South African women are grouped with Germany, China, and Spain. As France prepares to host the Women's World Cup, the country is also celebrating a victory in perhaps the most famous American auto race, the Indianapolis 500. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Pole sitter Simon Pagenaud drove a dominant race in winning the Indianapolis 500. He led 116 of 200 laps and averaged 175 miles per hour, but he had to fight off Alexander Rossi at the end. Pagenaud grabbed the lead from Rossi in the next-to-last lap and finished in front by 0.2 of a second.
Today was about attacking. You know, we had our strategy meeting this morning, and we decided we're going to attack, we're going to control the day, and we're going to take our fate in our own hands.
The win is a record 18th for team owner Roger Penske, and it caps a big month for the Frenchman Pagenaud. He also won the Grand Prix of Indianapolis 2 weeks ago. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Simon Pagenaud is the first Frenchman to win the Indianapolis 500 since Rene Thomas in 1914.
Another dream come true, and the biggest dream of my life come true. So it's hard to fathom, really. It's really hard to process it right now, but I'm just filled with a lot of joy, and you know, I drove really spirited today.
Elsewhere in auto racing, British star Lewis Hamilton won the Monaco Grand Prix Sunday to extend his Formula One lead over Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas of Finland. Hamilton now leads Bottas by 17 points in the F1 standings. German driver Sebastian Vettel, behind the wheel of a Ferrari, was second in Monaco, and Bottas was third. The 34-year-old Hamilton has dominated the Formula One circuit in recent years. He's bidding for his third consecutive Formula One World Drivers title and sixth overall. Now let's go to London, where Britain's four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah won the London 10,000 road race on Monday. Farah clocked 28 minutes and 15 seconds. It was his seventh win in seven races on the Central London course. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Mo after his victory and asked him about his performance.
It went well today. I was happy with my result. Butchard is a great athlete. He pushed pretty much. And Nick, good lad, he's going well as well. So today on news, it wasn't going to be walk in the park. I just had to, you know, obviously I'd taken a little bit time off after London Marathon, and then today was just kind of, you know, just go into it.
In terms of preparation, would you do anything different in terms of building up for returning to Chicago?
No, Gary got me in great shape last year. We won the race. We obviously finished third in London Marathon, then come back and win Chicago. So I don't think we will change anything. I don't know what he has planned for me. I think we're going to be a similar thing, but base again. But at the same time, just kind of just taking one step at a time.
Another year on, stronger, wiser in the marathon, you hope. To break your own European record, 2:05.11, you feel that you have a strong chance?
I think as we go, I am getting stronger and I am learning more. But at the same time, marathon is it's a completely different game. It's just, you know, you've got to hang in as much as you can. And it's 42K. It's not just like you can go through a bad patch and come back. Doesn't work like that, and you don't often do as many marathons. Well, the more marathon, the more I enjoy it. I think it can only get better.
Just one more question: the Chicago course itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you've run London, Chicago. Chicago's a known. I mean, it's certainly a fast course.
Yeah.
But how do you rate it in terms of difficulty?
I think it depends on the field and how the race is run. Obviously, for me, London was tough this year, but at the same time, Chicago. I was with the leading group. I was there. And I kind of enjoyed it. I was taking on the race, and it was a different race. And in terms of the course, it's just they are completely different. You don't get the support and the crowd like London. I do in London. Well, in Chicago, I don't get that support. But at the same time, it fits in well with our program.
That's Britain's four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah, who won Monday's London 10,000 road race. And Mo was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. French league champions Paris Saint-Germain finished a bittersweet 2018-2019 season on a low after suffering a 3-1 loss at Reims despite a goal from French forward of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe. The Parisians sealed a 6th league title in 7 years, but failed to retain its French Cup, League Cup, and also eliminated in the Champions League last 16 for the third straight year. Runner-up Lille will automatically join PSG in the Champions League group stage next season, while third-place Lyon should start the competition in the qualifying round, but will go directly into the groups if Chelsea, which has already qualified, wins the Europa League final against Arsenal this Wednesday. St. Etienne finished fourth, earning them a spot in next season's Europa League group stage. Monaco, champions in 2017, finished fourth from the bottom to retain its top-flight status, despite losing 2-0 at Nice on the final day of the French League campaign. Runner-up to Paris Saint-Germain last term, Monaco suffered a awful season, highlighted by the firing and rehiring of coach Leonardo Jardim, who returned after Thierry Henry failed in his first managerial post.
Prince, let's go to Germany now. I understand Bundesliga power Bayern Munich showed its character in winning a hard-fought double.
That's right, Sonny. The Bundesliga champions secured their first domestic double since Pep Guardiola was manager with a 3-0 win over RB Leipzig in the DFB Pokal final played at the Olympiastadion in Berlin. The league's top scorer, Robert Lewandowski, headed the champions into the lead in the 29th minute before Kingsley Coman's first touch finish doubled the lead in the 78th minute. Lewandowski sealed the win with a fine run and superb finish in the 85th minute to clinch Bayern's 12th double. The win came just 7 days after the Bavarians clinched their 7th consecutive Bundesliga title.
Thanks, Prince. By the way, for our VOA football fans keeping score, that 7th consecutive Bundesliga title by Bayern Munich was also the club's record 29th of all time. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at the weekend European club football highlights. Prince, let's go to Italy now. Massimiliano Allegri ended his Juventus career in disappointing fashion.
Right on, Sonny. Sampdoria made sure that the 51-year-old ended his tenure on a sour note by beating the Serie A champions 2-0 at home without the rested Cristiano Ronaldo. However, despite a poor final few weeks, they still finished 11 points ahead of second-place Napoli, who ended their underwhelming campaign after suffering a 3-2 defeat at Torino. The result marks a sad end for Allegri, who is set to leave this summer after guiding Juve to 5 straight titles. Meanwhile, Atalanta qualified for the Champions League for the first time on a dramatic final day of the Serie A season. The Bergamo side, in their 112th year, recorded an easy home win over Sassuolo to finish third behind Juventus and Napoli. And in Spain, Barcelona wanted a trophy to ease their Champions League heartache, but instead fell to another shocking defeat as Valencia pulled off a thrilling 2-1 victory to win the Copa del Rey. Kevin Gamero and Rodrigo scored twice in 13 frantic first-half minutes for a relentless Valencia, who hung on after Lionel Messi pulled a goal back to set up a dramatic finish in Sevilla. The result leads to more questions about coach Ernesto's future despite the backing he received from Lionel Messi and other players ahead of the game. I'm Prince Nesta, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the year's second major tournament, the French Open, is underway in Paris. And joining us now with an early round update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Bonjour, Gwen!
Bonjour, Sonny! Spain's Rafael Nadal remains the man to beat on the red clay on day two of the French Open tournament. The world number two claimed a first-round straight-set victory against Germany's Yannick Hoffmann in his bid to become the first player to win the same Grand Slam title 12 times. After the match, Rafa said he's happy with the way he played.
I did a lot of things well, not many mistakes, being very solid all the time. Just, of course, it's the beginning, and the first round is more about talking about what I have to do better, what I did very well today. It's just about general feeling, and general feeling have been positive this afternoon, and happy to be through to the second round, and that's the main thing today. And with straight sets, positive feelings, just happy for that.
Rafa advances to the second round and is set to face Germany's Yannick Madden on Tuesday. Meanwhile, a medical issue may have been the cause for Francis Tiafoe's first-round loss on Monday. Tiafoe, who was the only American seated at this event, vomited twice during his match against Serbian Filip Krajinovic and is now out of the tournament. On Sunday, third seed Roger Federer advanced to the second round in his first French Open tournament since 2015. Federer defeated Italy's Lorenzo Sonego in straight sets. And after the match, the 37-year-old Swiss said he felt very relaxed playing his first match on opening day, but he has no expectations for the rest of the tournament.
It relaxes you a little bit on the bigger points, maybe, or it just relaxes you subconsciously as you walk through the grounds and go to practice and go to the press room. And this is not a show I'm putting on. This is the truth, you know. I really don't know how far I can go in this event, and I am very happy with my first round. It was a really good performance, I thought, from my side for not having played here for as long as I did.
Federer played his opening match inside the newly revamped Court Philippe Chatrier. The 90-year-old stadium has a brand new look, but Federer said the feeling of being back on center court has remained the same.
I think it was helpful that the stadium was full, so you don't see the beige seats. You know, I feel like when it's not full, you feel like it's a completely different stadium. But as mine was full, I felt like it was actually very close to how it's been in the past. In practice, you know, when it was empty, I saw a lot of glass and I saw a lot of concrete, and I thought, oh, it's quite different. But as the stadium was full, I thought the atmosphere was great, and it was nice playing in there.
Federer plays his second-round match against Germany's Oscar Ott on Wednesday. Sixth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas has also advanced to the second round after defeating Germany's Max Mertens in straight sets. The Greek player shook up this year's Australian Open following his victory over Roger Federer, and on Sunday, Tsitsipas was asked if he believes he can get past Federer and also Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal to claim a French Open title.
I'll have to take it match by match. If I think too far, things might turn out to go reverse and go the other way around. So I don't want to think that far. Obviously, I want to stay here as long as possible because the vibe of this tournament is nice. So let's just take it step by step.
Tsitsipas will next face Bolivian Hugo Delian in second-round action on Wednesday. There were a series of first-round upsets on the women's side. On Monday, Dane Caroline Wozniacki said she simply ran out of steam after suffering a surprising first-round defeat against Russia's Veronika Kudermetova. Wozniacki is now the third former world number one to fall in the first round at the French Open. German fifth seed Angelique Kerber was sent home after losing in the first round to Russian Anastasia Potapova. And American Venus Williams is out of the tournament after her straight set loss against Elena Svitolina of Ukraine. Afterwards, Venus said her opponent's win was well deserved.
I thought she played really well and took her opportunities, and I wish her luck in the tournament.
Younger sister Serena is back at the French Open after a pectoral muscle injury forced her to withdraw in the fourth round of the tournament last year. She retired from last week's Italian Open with a knee injury, but despite growing concerns over her physical fitness, Serena is back in her quest for a fourth French Open title. She is set to face Russia's Vitalia Dyachenko on Monday. We'll have more results from the 2019 French Open, so stay tuned. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association Finals will tip off Thursday night in Toronto, Canada. The Toronto Raptors will host the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. This will mark the first NBA Finals with games played outside the United States. The Raptors advanced to the Finals for the first time by winning 4 consecutive games and eliminating the Milwaukee Bucks 4-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto topped Milwaukee by 6 points in Game 6, as we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby.
The Raptors' 194 win over the Bucks wouldn't have happened without a huge run by Toronto. Trailing by 15 late in the third, the Raptors turned up the defense while going on offense, in all, a 26-3 run. Another big night for Kawhi Leonard. He had 27 points and set a new high for rebounds this season with 17.
We just talked amongst each other once again and just, you know, said, let's go out here and enjoy it. And, you know, we could play better offense and defense. And we end up doing that, and we end up winning the game.
For Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks forward finished with a double-double of his own, 21 points and 11 boards.
Obviously, when you're up 2-0, that doesn't mean nothing. You got to learn how to come out and close out games, especially after Game 3. We got to get better as a team, and we got to get better individually.
Game 1 of the NBA Finals sees the Warriors visiting Scotiabank Arena on Thursday night. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Scottish runner Chris O'Hare won the Westminster Mile in London Sunday in an official time of 4 minutes even. Once again, here's the energetic Andy Edwards.
Well, Chris O'Hare of Scotland just won the Westminster Mile on Sunday, but I'd like to talk to him about earlier stages in his career, because he was at University of Tulsa in the USA. 8 years ago, you ran in the National Collegiate Championships, the mile. When you went there, you were a pretty good runner already, but did you have to adapt to any different approaches in terms of training and running?
Yeah, I think most of the American universities have quite a kind of high mileage system, which is very different to the most UK coaches. Most UK coaches focus on kind of good specific sessions, maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Part of that is just because that's the only time that a coach gets to see their athletes, but when you're with your coach every single day in the US, they have more, they kind of have more hands-on experience and more hands-on kind of everyday training. And so with that comes some higher mileage, higher intensity, which is exactly what I needed.
And were you also competing more? Were you running the cross-country season for your university as well as the track?
Yes, but I always did that in the UK. I would actually say I probably raced significantly less in the US. In the UK, when you're young, kind of raced almost every weekend. Whereas in the US, we were a bit more selective with the races because we knew we had to run an NCAA cross season indoors and then outdoors, and then a British outdoor season or European outdoor season as well. So it was tough, but good fun.
Maybe some people who don't have experience with the American college system and athletics might say, well, they point to perhaps cases of burnout, but did you ever feel that was the danger for you?
No. Ultimately, more often than not, obviously there are some specific cases, but more often than not, kids who don't make it to the professional level, who've gone to the US, use the US as an excuse. Likelihood is they weren't going to make it from the UK either. It takes a very specific athlete to be able to make it to an elite level. And more often than not, most of those elite athletes would succeed no matter where they are, because they're made of the right stuff and they've got the right attitude. So if you're going to make it in the US, you were probably going to make it in the UK and vice versa. And the antithesis is true as well.
That's very interesting. I think there's a song, Frank Sinatra, about New York, New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Just one last question. Of course, World Championship year, Doha, long season because that's in October. this is the start for you, this road mile, but are things looking good? I mean, you'd be confident you've made a global international finals. You'd be confident of another good season?
Yeah, first and foremost, we just need to make sure we make the team. The British 1500-meter running is the best it's been since the good old days. First and foremost, make sure we handle what's coming at us at the British Championships and then focus on Doha from there.
Chris, thanks very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Scottish athlete Chris O'Hare. Thanks also to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. And more thanks to VOA engineer John Dryden. And last but not least, thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister of Buganda, Charles Maiga. Buganda is the largest, most influential kingdom in Uganda. Buganda and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This is Science in a Minute.
Leonardo da Vinci is known today as a renowned painter, architect, inventor, and scientist. Known for painting the Mona Lisa and the Last Supper, da Vinci, according to various historical accounts, was also a procrastinator and left quite a few unfinished projects and works of art, such as his Adoration of the Magi and perhaps even the Mona Lisa itself. A new theory proposed by Professor Marco Cattani, a researcher from King's College London, might provide an explanation for this behavior. Cattani says the great da Vinci may have suffered from attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. Admitting that while it's impossible to make a post-mortem diagnosis for someone who lived 500 years ago, Cattani expressed his confidence that ADHD provides the most convincing and scientifically reasonable theory to explain Da Vinci's difficulty in finishing his projects. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.